Sounds great.
Right, share screen, share sound. QuickTime player. Brace yourselves, folks. It's going to be loud.
Is it necessary to really narrate the steps you're taking?
Because it takes them too long.
It's true.
Chrissy hates dead air.
I hate it.
Well, if it's at the start of the
Welcome
show,
to
then it's
everyone
like it's loading.
A show designed for the world of low-dollar racing and oddball car culture.
Everybody's tapping their radio.
It doesn't matter what kind of limit champ
or lucky track dog league you run.
SCCA or NASA, we won't discriminate.
As long as you drive it hard and built it yourself.
Join us each week for tech discussions,
tips, tricks, as well as news and notes from the world of amateur endurance racing.
And whether it's on the spot,
hella sweet,
or we're lucky enough,
Chrissy,
I give you just the tip.
We're sure you'll giggle a little
and learn even less.
Everyone report to the paddock.
This is Chris.
This is Chrissy.
Mental.
And we are everyone racers. Great. Thanks.
And you're Dean.
And you're awesome. Dean. There we go.
Yeah. Hey, and
all day
welcome
long.
To a disappointing BMW episode, but not what you think. It's episode 335. And BMW 335 is a six-cylinder sports sedan produced by the Bavarian firm BMW between 1939 and 1941. Commercial success of the BMW 326 encouraged a moved up market. So this is going to involve BMW challenging the dominance then enjoyed by Mercedes-Benz of the time. So the 335 was also supposed to be based on the 326, but with the wheelbase and chassis extended to accommodate a 3.5-liter M335 six-cylinder inline engine. Claim maximum power of 90 horsepower was lower than the values advertised for comparably sized and powered Jaguars of the period. Achieved full power at only 3,500 RPM and with 90 horsepower had a top speed of 90 miles per hour. So, disappointing, BMW. Not because you blew the turbos in your N55.
Bum-bum.
I know.
Not boring, though. Disappointing, not boring. And
yeah,
I'm certain that 90 miles an hour in that car, definitely not boring.
Oh, no, you felt like you were going to get a die,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Terrifying.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Speaking of feeling like you're going to die, mental, what are you working on?
Speaking of I'm going to die, I've been working on my 914. We talked a couple of weeks ago. I'm trying to get it ready for the Luft show in April. So pulling out just... I pulled out the original heater fan, and I am certain that at least three separate times for generations, squirrels and mice lived in that thing. There's no way that fan has ever turned in the last 20 years. It's all gone now. I had to pull the gas tank out. That was a comedy of errors. I kept like spilling gas in my driveway, trying to put it all into a can and then pour it into the Miata. Yeah. So hopefully that cleaned up some of the other stains on my driveway. It's not what I'm going to do. I have been watching to get an ECU for the Honda project that we talked about some time back, my brown top swapped Civic. And there is a series of an adapter in there that leads us to believe that it is set up for an Acura ECU. You can find Acura ECU from the 96, 97 model all day long, if they're automatic, for like $40, found a bunch of them. Manual, $150, if you can find one. But I did find something on YouTube that says you can make an automatic into a manual. Just as I got an email from eBay that said an item you were looking at, the seller made you an offer. So for $25, I just bought an automatic ECU out of an Acura, and I figured for $25. I could screw it up trying to make it into a manual and see if it'll work on that one. And then of course the purge continues. We have a couch full of things that'll be going to the domestic violence shelter next week. And just a few very brief moments of hoarding in between there. They're remodeling other parts of my office. So I ended up with 24 of those stackable chairs that I had, and I put those out on the curb, made a Facebook post, said, you know, perfect for a prayer meeting, whatever like that. They lasted 40 minutes until at 10 o'clock at night, there was a truck in front of my house loading those things up. I didn't even give an exact address. I just said, it's around this neighborhood, and somebody found them.
Wow.
But while getting all those chairs, I also came in possession of 35 links of eighth inch, 2.5 inch square metal tubing that was used for rows of seats. And the other hoarder guy in my, at my office,
he put the rest hoarder on. Guy.
When it comes to stuff like that, you know, raw materials, you know, he'll come make me an offer. I'm taking this many. How many do you want?
That's funny.
Whatever you, so I have all these and I'm trying to come up with plans before, or I'll end up recycling them. But so that's just my one brief foray into slight hoarding. I won't hold on to them past this summer. I promise. Yes.
But I was going to say you got rid of them pretty quick. That's not quite hoarding.
Yeah. Well, the chairs, they're good chairs. They're dated. They look like you would find in the basement of your church when you were growing up and, you know, your parents were upstairs at, you know, the choir meeting and the kids were all downstairs watching Veggie Tales or whatever. And the guys that run the, building.
You've been too close to the situation.
It's very specific.
It's very specific.
Yes. They take up a bunch of room in the dumpster, which means they take up a bunch of room in the landfill, and they're good chairs. The last time I had a stack of these, I ended up having to split them between these two ladies that run a prayer group in their house, and they need to be able to set it up and then and move it on there. So they give them to me knowing that I'm going to get rid of them in this fashion. It makes everyone feel better, and some meeting place now has 24 comfortable, if not dated looking chairs. It's a bit of a thing with me, the way the government, I'm hoarding the metal bars. I'm totally holding the metal bars.
What you're doing is
the chairs. Yeah. The chairs. And cause I have the means to just go get, I take the RV.
Micro hoarding.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do all that. But we've made a couple of runs down to the thrift store, and then Vicky's been putting aside a bunch of specialized items. I went through and finally pulled out, you know, a bunch of my awards that I've gotten over the years in the military.
I have so many awards.
So
I have awards for my awards. I don't know what to do with them all.
I had to go shred them all because they all have PII on them. And about halfway through, you know, the shredder at work, so I was like, seriously, what crime, tax crime, are you trying to destroy the documentation on? But that's what we've been doing. Which is, yeah, say that out loud does sound a little weird-centric.
Yeah. I have so many awards. People get annoyed by the shredder.
They gave me an award for that. But yeah,
it sounds like something George Russell would say. I have so many awards. Yeah. I'm a great driver.
Yeah, he'll be saying that a lot more. I am dying to know what the middle part of Chrissy's what you're working on means.
Yes.
I'm going to learn a new safety term today.
Oh, no, it's the Department of Environmental Protection.
Oh, what's the word I can never pronounce that you had to study, the chemical?
Oh, hexavalent, chromium. No. No, very different. Very different. So I've been working way too much. Worked on Saturday. Probably will have to work again this Saturday. So I'm going to miss our party again. There's been a lot of projects going on at work. I had a DEP audit. So 2 weeks ago, DEP came in for a surprise visit, which we passed, which was great. But then they came back and had to do a whole document review, which took a good couple hours. Did pretty well. There's two things that I didn't have in the
Two surprise inspections in 1 week.
Same one, really. It was a visit, and then with a tour, and then they showed up at Friday at 2:30 p.m. And then they were like, "Well, we'll come." Right. So they, and then it took us probably about 3 hours, all said and done.
I hope you checked
their
ID.
Did they have a warrant?
If they are a government organization that showed up Friday at 2:30, I would have immediately assumed they were imposters.
They were not. They are real. And they came back to do a document review. So they came back. So like, you can show up whenever you want. And I think Friday at 2:30 makes it so that you can't hide anything. So
yeah, but if you work for the government, you're not going to work that late on a Friday.
Well, so that's the thing. It's like he came to do the tour and look at the plant and understand. They hadn't been there in 5 years, which is killer because we've changed a lot in 5 years. So they want to see the documentation for the last 5 years, even though if you're supposed to have it or not, now you need to have it because they said they want everything from 2019 to now. And so they did a tour. They looked at a whole bunch of things. everything, all of that went well. And then they're just like, oh, we just need to see all of the data that you have, rolling 12 of VOC emissions and just a lot of things. Most of which I had, two things that I didn't have. And in the organization, I have the data points, but not exactly how they wanted it to be. So I fixed that pretty quick, turned it around. So yeah, so it's just been a lot of stress. Didn't sleep on Sunday night. Did that all last night. So yeah, screw you, DEP. And then also my other side hustle is my library volunteerism, trying to organize and hire a whole bunch of people for that.
I don't think you know what a side hustle is. That's supposed to make you money.
This is a free, very filled with hassles side hustle is what this is. Yes. So I am actively trying to hire for three different positions there, all of which is the hiring market for this pay grade is miserable. So added to my stress. Anyway, I haven't been working on cars at all because Chris is growling in the garage because of how much fun he's having. So I do not want to go and help him do that. So Chris, tell us all about what you've been doing in the garage.
Well, before that, I want to offer to mental that I can find right now three different 86, 87 Integra manual transmission ECUs in junkyards for $50 that will show up.
I'm looking at 96.
Well, you shouldn't be looking at 96 because that's OBD2 and has nothing to do with your car. So,
well, I just wasted $25.
Yep. Yeah.
I looked up the brown top motor and they said that was what the one it came in. Oh, well.
10 years off. Exactly 10 years off. But hey, I'll give you these other ones later because it's $50 for one of those. No problem.
I'm down.
Anyway, what have I been working on? Well, I've been figuring out my MG puzzle and cleaning things. And so this is a puzzle that I have left myself several different times in the past.
Real quick, Chris, yeah. You do that thing where you point to where I'm going to link the episode where we talk about undoing the project car. There we go. Perfect.
Yep. I've left this puzzle for myself many times. And including I'm redoing work of things that I did when I was like 17 or 18 years old. And, you know, I'm better now than I was then. And like tonight's fun was the wiper motor. It stopped working in like 96. I took it out. It was a pain in the ass. I had it rebuilt. And then I just said, you know, I don't really need that. I don't drive this thing in the rain anyway. And it's a pain. So I'm not going to put it back. Now I'm thinking like, all right, I got to put it back. Let's get that off the bench.
You're cursing previous Chris.
It's not previous, Chris. It's sometimes these old cars are easy to work on. Like, sure, if I want to adjust the valves, no problem, right? Easy. And especially if you compare it right now in the garage, the MG is right next to the Mercedes. The Mercedes might as well be a spaceship compared to the MG. But
not my. The Mercedes is actually a spaceship compared to.
But it's actually easier to work on for a whole variety of things. Who knew? Kind of weird.
Yeah, those old cars, you have to get to wiper motors.
It's under the cowl of the side of the, because it's such a pain in the ass. I had to take half the master cylinder apart to get it in there. None of it works. Anyway, everything is fine thread.
I see fine Dean having everything. Rolls Royce flashbacks right now.
Yeah. Dean and I both know how terrible those are.
Many flashbacks.
Yeah.
We were talking about that the other day. I still miss that car. It was on Facebook Marketplace. I would have bought it back. Guy never called me back.
Oh,
I'm kind of glad.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Doesn't really fit in your repertoire these days, but.
Yeah. Grandma's purse interior always fits in the repertoire. The thing was
we did derail the wiper story and 17-year-old Chris making your life hard.
Yeah, that's fine. That was it for the MG. It's coming along, but slowly. I had to do some Porsche suspension diagnosis this weekend because we took the car out for a while on Sunday because it was a gorgeous day, 60-something degrees and nice. So we went to a couple breweries and whatnot, and the car started making this just creaky, loud noise in the front end. It happened anytime you turn the wheel, anytime you go up and down, the suspension would go up and down. And like the one point, we're driving through this college town with lots of people out, and the car, every time I go over any bump, it's like really loudly. And when you don't have the radio cranked and the top down, you really hear it. And so this car's just making so much noise. At one point, when we're stopped, someone's like, "Hey, nice car." Like, thanks. And it's a good thing you can't hear the terrible noises it's making. So got it home, got it up in the air and started moving stuff around. It felt vibration when moving on the lower ball joint, the front. So ordered up a new pair of control arms because I already did the ones in the back. Might as well do the ones in the front. They're original with 97,000 miles on it. Okay, fine. Anyway, so you know what? You've heard a voice in the background. You've heard he introduced himself. It's Dean Lemon Staple, founding member of Sorry for Part of Racing, verified party animal, and all around wonderful human being and solid teammate, Dean Halter. Dean, what you working on?
What am I working on? I'm working on lyrics to a country music song, I feel like. It's like all kinds of stuff that doesn't work. And tonight I'm kind of, Jackie's traveling, so I'm not Jackie. She's in Cedar Rapids, so I'm doing Lego. We have a bunch of Lego sets we haven't put together, so I'm working on the Space Shuttle Discovery.
Normally, nice. I feel like, you know, that's like definitely Class B bachelor stuff. You know, oh man, my spouse is out of town. I'm totally going to sit around in my underwear and do Lego, but you might be in trouble for doing Lego without Jackie.
I asked.
Oh, good.
I literally did. I said, how many bags can I get through? It's all good. We're negotiated. But, okay. You know, not to talk about work, but work's been a mess. So I needed something to do with my hands and less brain work. So just doing that. Still in the process of moving into Oklahoma. So house has a really cool shop, but it's been hell trying to get everything in there. I get that that's a first world problem, but it's trying to set things up, outlets where you need, trying to make an outlet for my welder, that kind of stuff. And then grinding a bunch of stuff, getting ready for my brothers to come, and they'll be here on Thursday to help me get the engine in the Porsche after the the disaster that was Button Willow,
where we 50-50 weight distribution.
It's all good. I got my shirt on, but
yeah, totally worth it.
I got my shirt on.
Yeah, there it is. But we, you know, we won Heroic Fix and blew the motor up on the last lap because it didn't have any oil pressure.
On your only lap. It was like the lap.
It was the lap. We were so excited about that lap. And then we weren't, because we went to push it on the trailer and couldn't figure out why it wouldn't start up. We're like, oh, the battery's dead.
It's never the battery.
That's exactly right. I go to get it out of the trailer.
No.
I'm jumping it and it won't turn over. And I'm like, this seems bad.
We're gonna put a link to that Lemon's wrap-up video in the show notes because it's fantastic.
So I've been working on that, and then it was super nice out. We've been looking at RVs, so we went and bought an RV.
I saw it. It's amazing. Wow. And no. Beautiful and huge and yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah, but now it's leaking hydraulic fluid on my driveway, so I gotta take it back.
Welcome to RV ownership.
but I went to drive to work today and my car isn't charging, so I'm like, what
is today? No,
like, I can't get anything going. But it's, you know, it's the kind of stuff you get when you buy a hybrid car. Once in a while it does dumb stuff. It's not a Tesla, so you know it's gonna be
we have a refined group of automotive enthusiasts that listen to us. You have a fascinating electric car. What is it?
So it's a hybrid. It's a Fisker Karma. 2012. They made some in 2013, but they were 2012s. And I think they made 2,000 of them before they went broke and then changed their name. Guy used to work for Aston, and you can totally see all the Aston in that car. Beautiful car. It's a prototype. Lots of fun. But it does scary stuff every once in a while, even though a lot of the hardware is GM. It's got an Ecotec in it, straight out of a Solstice. Great motor. Very cool, but every once in a while, it's never stranded me anywhere. But every once in a while, it won't charge, or the infotainment system will do something dumb, and you're like, what are you doing?
It's not like you need that. Like mine,
yeah, you've kept
mine
that
doesn't work.
Thing. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're like, oh, then I don't have radio. It's fine. You don't have a car.
It just makes you question life decisions when you do that. Why did I do that? I could have bought an old Mustang that would be more reliable than this.
So you've kept this thing running for a while, though. You've had that car for...
Yeah, I bought it in 2019 off Bring a Trailer. And again, it's been good to me. I've put, you know, a couple thousand miles on it. I drive it every day. But, you know, it's... Jackie's been bugging me to get rid of it because she doesn't like it. Because it's too big and heavy for her. which I can It's 5,000 pounds. So I,
it is huge.
And it's a huge car. So
yeah,
not great visibility. All the trimmings of a car you really want, right?
Yeah. You're really selling it.
Yeah. Killing it. It's for sale.
Yeah. Everybody's like, step away slowly.
No, no. Yeah, exactly. Mm. No, run.
I'm good. Thanks. Yeah.
Gotta go.
I have an ulterior motive because if no one wants to buy it, then I get to keep it.
Yeah. Sorry, Jackie. No one wants the car.
Yeah, I can't sell it. I need to make money.
Oh, well. Yep.
Like she's not going to listen. She's not going to listen to this episode. You're totally busted.
Watch this episode, laugh at me, and be like, no, you're selling it anyway. I mean,
exactly.
It's just funny because I have a love hate with it. Because every once in a while, it'll mess up. Like the blower motor died. So I had to crawl under the dash. I hate interior work. So, Chris, I totally get it, right? You got to take all the stuff apart. Of course, an MG is not going to have airbags, right? So you got to get all that out of the way. Hope it doesn't blow up in your face. You finally get the thing back together and then you drive it and you're like, I really love this car. And Jackie's like, stop it. Just stop it. You keep doing this. You just need to get rid of it. Okay. Whatever.
And I love that the car is too big and heavy because your other car is a Range Rover.
Well, it's a tow pig, but yeah. First world problem. It's a diesel though. It's a diesel. So there's
did not know that.
Yeah. It's diesel.
Oh, you can never get rid of that. European diesels.
Well, you can't now because I'll never get my money back out of it. But
But you're in Oklahoma. You could buy biodiesel and stuff there, man. Yeah, no, never get rid of that. That'll outlive cockroaches. European diesels. Awesome.
Yeah. But the info, again, like the Fisker, the infotainment system won't work. The air suspension will break. Yeah, exactly. MG.
Yep. Learned early. Yeah. So Porsche, this one doesn't have things like air suspension or air or anything
or air
or suspension. Windows doesn't have windows, frankly, so it's all right. Who needs windows?
It's interesting though, like you're talking about how it's hard to work on, right? So a lot of older cars, and I had a Corvair, right? So same kind of deal, right? You couldn't work on it's really hard because no one ever gave a shit what it was like to work on. And then you went through this period where they recognized that reliability wasn't great, so they made the car easy to maintain. And then reliability started getting better. So engineers were like, oh, I can totally tuck the starter in the V of the engine and no one will care because the starter will never break. And then so there's this weird, like the Mercedes are super complicated. You mentioned the spaceship aspect of it, but they rarely break anything big. But sometimes the little stuff kill you.
Yeah, we've had always the little stuff will kill you.
All right.
Good time.
All right.
We do talk about Formula One. We don't talk about a lot of different forms of racing, but last week, right after we wrapped our episode, Joey Logano was fined $10,000, had to do a drive-through penalty and had to start at the back of the pack for a webbed glove. Why is that such a big deal? And everything that I was researching to find out about that kept coming back to, well, it was not SFI. It was not SFI. Okay. And so what that means is the SFI, anytime you make a modification to any of your fireproof clothing, and I'm looking at every one of you endurance racers out there, it actually by definition loses its certification. And what they had done is created, but no one could tell me why. And of course, when I start digging around there, the one person that can explain it, Bozy Tatarvik, he does a great job of breaking it down on road and track. And we've got a link to that in our show notes. But what it is the glove had webbing between the fingers, effectively making it like almost like a swimming glove. And this actually seems like a great idea to me, especially during a full course yellow, when it's 100 degrees and everyone's sticking their hand out of the car to try and get some air to come through. But at 200 miles an hour, it actually has a purpose. Cup cars, as Bozy explains, are very, very aerodynamic, except for that side window. And they don't even have external protruding mirrors. So what the drivers will do is hold that net during those qualifying runs, or they'll kind of hold their hand to try and eke out a couple of tenths of miles an hour. And NASCAR is a sport of tenths. So they believe that he was using this glove to aerodynamically alter the vehicle during qualifying runs, coming through there, keep some of it from coming inside the car, and then also keep some of it from going over that spoiler, because on the super speedways like Daytona, where he qualified on pole for the first time in that team's history, you can get it off that extra tall spoiler that they use to try and keep those speeds down. My theory as a casual NASCAR watcher is the penalty is more in line with the perceived cheating than safety, because of the gut they'll think. But I'll say this, if I was an SFI glove maker right now, I would be designing a new product, if for no other reason than to keep us cool during extended yellows when we're sticking our hands outside the car. So we've got a link to the fine and we've got a link to the article by Bozy on our show notes. Check that out.
That's fantastic.
Good. I it's a good explanation. I'm glad we actually learned that. That's good. Thanks.
Yes, except that I'm thinking of how on the off times of when I need to do something else than get air, how I'm going to do that if I have no web fingers. If I'm wearing a mitten, how am I going to...
They're not webbed together. It's like that.
No, it wasn't webbed together. It was like a Spider-Man.
Right. I know. I was just trying to think of...
Aquaman
not
kind of thing. Yeah.
But now I have to do something. I don't know.
It's good for fueling.
It's not good for a lot of things. Okay. Thanks to everyone who joined us at the watch party. We'll do it again this Sunday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. But in the midst of another Verstappen domination and the ongoing Red Bull drama, here are some points you may have missed at the F1 season opener. This is courtesy of Philip Horton at Auto Week. Gunter Steiner was commentating for the German broadcaster RTL. Also commentating was Romain Grosjean for the French premium network Canal Plus. This was the first return to Bahrain since the accident in 2020. Naturally, the Phoenix did not make the trip to turn three. David Coulthard took some hot laps in the VA-powered 2008 McLaren that brought Lewis Hamilton the first of his MP4-23 on Saturday. Coulthard carried out a few demolition laps. Demolition. Did you catch that? Demolition derby?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the middle of that? Demonstration laps in the car, which Lewis Hamilton claimed his first of 7 world titles. The event also drew a record crowd celebrating the 20th anniversary of Bahrain GP, while the checkered flag was waved by Jeremy Clarkson. Oh yeah, and Max Verstappen said something about quitting Red Bull, and he may move to Mercedes. In the meantime, join our F1 Fantasy League. Even if you start the day late, you'll probably be doing better than me, and Fantasy GP, the platform that we use, is so much better than the F1 app, so join us.
End up having to be a Verstappen fan.
Why?
Because he's going to join Mercedes.
Oh. I don't know.
Sorry, we can trade. I'm going to Ferrari.
Yeah. Good place to be. You'll be sad always.
Have not eliminated. No one is dispelling the rumor that Fernando might come, which means that our F1 hot takes were right on. And Fernando,
we got a long time to go.
Yes, we do. We just did the first one
to go.
Right. I know.
So many seats available, though. So many contracts are up.
Oh, yeah. Once the dominoes start falling, they're going to keep falling, but it's going to take a while until they do. All right. You know, race cars are fun, but how about a race truck? Even better, how about a vintage race truck that has been a racer since it was new? This is an 83 GM C10 regular cab short bed. And is, according to the seller, it is, quote, one of the original NAS trucks that started the National Pickup Truck Racing Association in 1983 at the North Carolina Motor Speedway in Rockingham, All-American Pickup Truck 200. Complete with logbook, magazine articles, and a build book. There's one on display at the Alabama Hall of Flame. Flame fame. It's race-ready and always happening? A top three finisher. This is available for $20,000 in Dillsburg, PA. That's talk about a unique, rare thing. Like
that
a
is
square a body Chevy truck.
Beautiful thing.
Vintage race car. It's the only one that you're probably going to find anywhere around for sale, for sure.
Yes.
And those have a lot of fans, those old square bodies.
The real shame of this, and it's just like that cool thing you found last week, is why, oh, why did they not just use Pod 23? Get that Racing Junk Pro membership for like 50% off. It's literally like $20. You spend more at Applebee's, not Chili's, because Chili's has like a $10 deal right now, but at Applebee's. And because I could get lost in the details and the pictures of that truck, the build book, all that kind of stuff. That is a fantastic looking race vehicle. I love it.
Yep. There's only that one picture though, but I agreed. I would have liked to see more.
Yes.
It's not that hard.
No. Oh, well, it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Even Mitchell did it. So therefore, come on.
Exactly. Now I'm in this next section, but I'm shamelessly just going to dump this on Chrissy because I've got recent results.
Okay, great. So there is the San Marcos Grand Prix at Harris Hill 7+8. What group is
Champ
this?
Car.
Champ Car. Thank you. Thank you. There are 28 entries. Wow.
Like plenty of room.
Yeah, it's going to be a track day. You're just going to be like, is anybody else out here? I'm not really sure.
It is Harris Hill, which is like middle of nowhere, like, you know, past Austin.
Four BMWs. It's like not even boring. 15 Miatas, more than half the field. No Hondas, one Porsche, a Triumph TR6 with the team name Bad Idea.
They understand their mission.
Yeah.
Yep. Hopefully they don't have to replace a wiper motor.
It's fine. We're not touching it. We're not taking it off. No.
It's not running. Okay.
Yeah. Last week we talked about the AM or the Lucky Dog Race League. They were their opener of the Carolina Cup was at CMP. Now Saturday, their A-class winner was Low Country Motorsports in an 06 Mustang, and they crushed everyone by 7 laps. Their B-class was 132 Dirty Air in a 75 Chevy Nova, which is awesome. They would go on to do the same thing on Sunday, and they were third both days overall. Low Country in that 06 Mustang was first on both days, but they only won by one lap on Sunday. And for Saturday, your C-class winner was 319 is Bad Medicine and an 87 X Ratty, which they managed to put ninth overall. Sunday, the C-class winner was 11th overall, and that was car 256, Beer Money Wasted Racing, and a boring E30, but you got a clever name, so we're prepared to let that one go.
Okay, listener feedback time! Okay, on the YouTubes, Tim B said, what? CNC never been to Thunderhill? We must change that next year. And Carlton's And Carlton said, oh, only 9 gallons an hour for the El Camino. Our super pessimistic burn rate is 5.
Talking about Corey's big block Elky that they won Class C. Now, on Facebook, we posted a meme about watching the Saturday race, and someone named Chrissy Mitch Tura said, it's wow. So sad to sit on the couch and watch reruns of a race on Sunday. Womp, womp. At our watch party, though, we had a lot of great comments on there. Ron Harrington tuned in because he was multitasking while making his world-famous Ronster wraps for your iRacing vehicle.
Tim B also said, I should have spent the $10 on the pro membership. That $5 million would have made a big difference. And Tyler said, so what are the odds Ferrari intentionally swapped their driver positions via that pit stop versus they just screwed up the strategy call again? Who knows?
I feel like that screwed up strategy call odds are about the same as what it takes to win betting on Max Verstappen this season.
Hey, Mental, you got made $1.80. So
I made $1.80.
Wow.
Yeah. For the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix right now, those odds were -300 to 1. Now those odds are -400 to 1. Oh, so I'm only going to make $1.25 betting on Max Verstappen this week.
It's terrible.
Oh, well. Yep.
You know who would never screw up a strategy call?
I was going to say, you know who has never bet on Max Verstappen?
Even for the dollar.
Because yes. He's an ass. That's why.
I feel
he
like
likes
feel
nice like, people.
Yeah. I feel like Chrissy's mom is really a Leclerc person.
I would say she probably
Alex
would.
Albon.
Oh, he's nice
so nice.
He is so nice.
Right. And he's kind of at the back of the pack, but he's very nice about it.
Yeah.
Young, polite people, you know. Gasly. Hopefully. Yeah. All those folks.
Oh,
Gasly's
what?
Not that polite. He's got,
no, he's not.
Not maybe
no,
not.
No, he's not very nice. Don't right,
Russell. You think, okay. Russell, you think she likes?
Oh, Russell. She'll like Russell. Yeah.
He's,
yeah. Yeah.
He's a nice young man.
Yeah.
He likes to show his abs too. So you did a full package.
Hey, do
he doesn't show his that. Full package though, so that's okay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Going more figurative than literal. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I did see a TikTok where somebody posted how mad they were that George Russell's intro, when they show the race and they're always doing the dramatic zoom in of all the different drivers. You used to get the you know, the George Russell two hands on Spider-Man. Both the walls.
Yes,
and
yes.
Now that you're sitting on his face, and she's like, "We're robbed. That's not fair." She wants full frontal George Russell.
That was Jackie's comment too. She's like, what? You were robbed of this. It's very funny.
Well, but he had a suit on.
I get it.
He's a striking figure.
But again.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. I'm just like,
hey. Was it you? Anyway, hi, Mom. Okay. It's my top 10.
This topic is inspired by a recent article from a previous guest, Kyle Smith. Now, he wrote a piece on Haggerty about the rites of passage for every DIY mechanic. We're, of course, going to have a link to that in our show notes. And you should just be reading Kyle Smith on Haggerty anyway, because he writes with the wisdom of someone much older than him. And he's got a great style, and he actually does it. He is a bloody knuckled mechanic himself. Now, in relation to that, Top Gear famously claimed that you can't be a true petrol head until you've owned an Alpha. Kyle expands on this shared experiences like busted knuckles, makeshift roadside repairs, trapped tools. It's going to get you right in the feels.
Oh, I was still hung up on the your spelling of petrol was said patrol. And I was like, probably not the right word. This guy was thinking, anyway, back to the story. This guy was thinking there are some shared experiences, or more accurately, shared misery among those of us who have been doing endurance racing for a while. So we're going to have some story time.
And we know it's not just us. There are people with better stories than us and great storytellers along. So we're going to have some Three Puddle Mafia specific experiences, but we wanted to get lots of stories on certain subjects and immediately thought of our friend Dean from Sorry for Party. So we already introduced Dean, so we're good, man. So let's start on our list. Weird stuff. First one, it's got to be that overnight engine swap or rebuild or that thing that happens.
The all-night thrash.
Yeah.
All right. Now, yeah. I was just telling this story last weekend when we were all at New Jersey. And we had the boat, and Sorry for Party was there in the Failbird, and we both blew our motors, and we both bought them from that same sketchy, no good junkyard just down the road. And everyone had to fight to get their money back because the motors were guaranteed, even though rusty water was pouring out of them. And we're pulling the engine out. We're trying to get the new one in. There's just enough difference in the parts to make it miserable. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, we are still just elbows deep in the engine bay of the boat when I hear the Firebird fire up. Now, if you don't know this, and I'm telling the story while I'm replacing the engine in the Firebird at the track last weekend, if you are anywhere near Sorry for Party and you hear the word board meeting, you have to stop what you're doing and then go stand in a circle. And now they drink from the chalice of failure, which is a cup that they made from a drive shaft that failed.
Shouldn't
the
Dean be telling this story? It's his story. It's his team.
Well, I'm going to the punchline, and then they drink Jaeger all night. So when that engine fired up, I looked at Chris just absolutely depressed and said, the car was built by drunk, naked people and it's running. And
we're
ours
quite
isn't.
Naked.
The best swap we ever did was the Speedo swap in New Jersey. I mean, it was the fastest it went in, and we came in third afterward. I mean, that was an epic race.
Tell the story.
Well, we had been in a rut, right? So I think we blew the car up a couple times. We struggle a lot, and we were getting pretty pissed at each other. And Friday came around, and I think it was 10 o'clock in the morning. We ran the car for like an hour, and it was a bad build, right? So I don't know whether we put that wrong head gasket on it or what, but it pinged enough to pop the motor. So we had spent, you know, all of the nickels getting this thing where we wanted it to be. It was going to dominate the whole nine yards, right? That car never dominates, spoiler alert, right? It's still crappy after all these years, even with an LS in it.
We had it in second. We had it in second.
6.5 quarts of oil. That's all I got to say. So we'll get to that. But anyway, right? So the car blows up and we're standing there. We have a spare. It's sitting on the trailer and nobody wanted to do it. We're all mad at each other. We're like finding reasons to argue with each other. And I'm like, look, let's have a team meeting at the tent, right? So we camped that time. And I don't know why, but it was dumb. I'll never do that again. But we had a little tent and I'm like, hey, why don't we put our Speedos on and just go over there and bang this out? It'll be super dumb. And we won't be able to yell at each other because we're going to look stupid. And everyone around us is going to be like, you guys are idiots, which we, of course, still are. But it was really funny to do.
You can only get so angry if you're wearing a Speedo next to a person wearing a Speedo.
And again, I think it was like running downhill. Once we got the motor out, like all of a sudden things just started working. And we got the car put together and got it on the track before the end of the day, which was amazing. And it came in third. It was one of our better finishes. But, you know, maybe rite of passage is a little bit too, maybe it's a little too extreme for a rite of passage. I don't recommend that. But it was kind of our thing, right? We were like, I don't know. I mean, Matt's still a half-dressed idiot, but you know, for a time.
He does that like on normal, like Tuesdays.
Tuesday, exactly. Yeah. I feel like just right out of the gate, you know, the thing that a lot of Lemons racers who have been doing this for a while, the experience they all share is that all night thrash. And then you bleary eyed stare at the rising sun and you look at someone and go get your suit on. It'll be running in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work out that way though.
No, it doesn't.
No,
happened to us at CMP. We told Matt to get his suit on after replacing the engine. We go to bolt the wheel on and we realized the ball joint was bad. It was like unsafe to drive the car after an all night thrash. It's a complete, like, I almost like, wow. Cause it was the Porsche, like the second time we got one lap out of that car at CMP, one lap.
I feel that's similar to what happened at CMP 24.
Yeah.
When
Metzl blew the head gasket and Hamza's
in 36. And then left. And then everybody put the engine in and then clutch plate was on back.
We sent Jim to bed at like 11 saying, go get some sleep. So when we're done, we'll wake you up and you know, you can drive. And Jim tells it, well, he's like, and I woke up and it was light out. So I said, oh, I guess the car's not fixed.
I felt so bad for you guys.
It was all in, and Hamza had put the clutch in and following the instructions on the clutch.
The instructions
only
were
to
wrong.
Find out the instructions were wrong and it was in backwards and couldn't be taken out without destructive force. So we said, oh, well.
That's like a subset of the all night thrash is to do the all night thrash and be betrayed by a completely different problem.
Or you really don't know what the problem was. I mean, that the chalice of failure was broken because the torque arm broke and we didn't know it. Put the car back together, put it on the track and it's banging up and down. We're trying to figure out what happened. What's wrong with it? And we realized we didn't actually fix the problem. We just fixed a symptom.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hey, you got a fun thing out of it, though.
Yeah, you did.
We did.
Now, Dean, we mentioned your OG. When was you guys' first Lemons race?
Stafford, 2010.
So that's the level of OG. I'm going to have you read the next one, but we're going to do our legal disclaimer. This is a really bad idea. Don't do this. But a lot of people listening have already done this.
Racing hungover. I've seen people call out drunk on Sunday. Those people shall remain nameless.
Oh, yeah.
The thing I added was, you know, leaving yourself landmines. So we did a whole race.
Yeah.
And we, last pit stop, we see a cord hanging out from under the hood. We had left our battery charger, which we were using to run the party rock music the night before at Thompson. We left the battery charger under the hood. The cord's like banging on the windshield. We're like, what the heck? So didn't realize it till the last pit stop. Mm. That's when you're just like, well, send it. I don't know what it's going
on. It's obviously okay.
That's a good one. I feel like that happens with the with our friend the double dildo.
Yeah, that it gets left places it wanders.
Yep. Sunday night or Sunday.
I like the idea of you creating issues for Sunday race on Saturday night. That happened to us with the boat at Summit Point. Summit Point for those of you who were never there.
I think there's that's coming up in number 6.
No. That didn't actually it could be part of that too.
Okay, good.
Anyway, we had no clutch almost all day Saturday, but we were still rocking it and just driving without the clutch.
Leaving fourth.
Right. And we did. We were only 2 seconds slower just leaving in a fourth the whole track than we were actually trying otherwise. And we came in, we were leading C by a few laps. This is great. And Summit Point was it was the longest day of the year, and it Sunday didn't start till noon, and it was a long Saturday. We're like, all right, that's no problem. We'll fix that in the morning. You know, we got the new master cylinder. We'll just bleed that out in the morning. How bad can it be? Let's go have a great time. And the parties at Summit Point were amazing.
This is modern lemons. It was true. Yes.
And as a current safety professional just cringes
about stunt and exploding, right?
There was so much stunt and exploding.
Pyramid of safer barriers that we built on the back straightaway.
The girl fell off the back.
Yeah, the Summit Point races were some of the reasons that stunt and exploding was outlawed for a while. So anyway, we said we'll do it in the morning. So we did. And then putting it in, we get Tom Lomito strapped in the car. He's going to go dominate, steps on the clutch. He's like, this feels a little hard. And we're like, just give it another try. And he does. And he goes, snap, because an 87-cent piece of General Motors plastic in the linkage broke because the master cylinder wasn't in right. So there we go.
Now
we didn't just fix the job the night before. We cost ourselves a C win right there. Yep.
And it took us a long time to get it back, I think.
It did. Yeah, we eventually had a solution that worked that we can talk about in number 6.
Right, okay.
Before how that was fixed.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, Dean touched on this one. Who wants to grab number 3?
I feel like we talked about this. Never turning a lap, braking hard early.
Yeah, like the one lap in the Porsche. How many times did that happen, Dean?
That was once. So the first race with the Porsche, we hadn't yet figured out the number 2 rod bearing problem. So we did one stint and a half, and then it popped. Then we spent the whole time buying a motor, putting it in for it not to run. That was race 1. Race 2 was we put the wrong head gasket on, so it was pinging. We changed the head, got a lap in, and then the motor basically popped. We went to the spare. I had a washer that got between the water pump and the block, so it started puking water out. So we fixed that. Then we realized it didn't have a front oil seal on it. Fixed that. We made our own oil seal for the crank. Super fun. Got that to work, and that's when we found the ball joint. So the third race that we were going to run that in was Road Atlanta. And I remember Matt saying, you know, is this going to be 3 strikes and you're out? And I was like, it could be third time's a charm. We ended up 11. What? We ended up 11. So we fixed the exhaust, did some other stuff. And then the last hour, Matt caned that thing mercilessly. He was like, just send it, see what happens. And we made it. Couldn't believe it. And then it was on a nice run after that for a little bit until we did stupid stuff again, which we always do. But that platform's hard to figure out. I would not recommend a 944 to anyone. Buy a Solstice, like a BMW easy button. Just don't 50, crash 50 it.
50-50 weight distribution, worth it.
Yeah. I'll add a time. We were at Summit Point with AER in the Civic, and Jeff's out the first time, and the trans just isn't working right. And that we'd never, ever had transmission problems with that car. and but it's grinding, it's not working right, so we take it out, it's a mess, and we proceed to spend the next 2 days rebuilding transmissions and basically depleting the supply of Honda D series transmissions in the greater southern
those
area.
That weren't swapping were driving all over Pennsylvania to find all of the available transmissions, meaning buying one, bringing it back, doesn't work, go home, bring it back. Okay.
And match parts.
It still doesn't work.
Out three different times, apart four different times, making pieces out of one to finally, and eventually, like, yeah.
The housing was broken, was the last one that when we got it to fit, there was a crack in the housing. I'm pretty sure that's how that weekend ended. Wow. Yep. Yeah. I think that one we didn't do much on that one.
That was rough.
Yeah, we Chrissy did a T56. We did a T56 swap at New Hampshire. Went and bought a janky ass one for $800. Matt welded the nub from one clutch onto the other one to make it work.
Yep.
I was like, what?
No fail on this project. No fail.
It worked. It ran like three races like that.
Oh, okay. There was no fail. That's good.
This is another one for number six when we get there. Like that. Wow.
I mean, we really try to not come with cars. Oh, with that never turn a lap. This makes me think of the CMP race when we took the boat out and we're like, There's a lot of smoke behind that. I think it made three laps and then then we didn't run the boat anymore.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's far for us to tow. Yeah, that was when we were all the way out in the field.
That was fun.
No, it wasn't. No.
Yes.
This is just a sad show now.
We've got more fun ones coming up.
This is a sad show.
Okay. Well, Mantle, you got to take this next one because this is all you, buddy.
Absolutely. Trailer failure. There are all kinds of epic stories of people and their trailers failing on their way to or home from the track, including the entire story of how I came to be in possession of the Moon trailer, which I just got a text update this week from the owner of the Moon trailer, who said, by the way, I finally replaced, parentheses, not a moment too soon, the janky hitch that was on this thing that was so old and loose. I'm surprised it stayed on the ball at all. And he'd sent me a picture of the new. He is continuously, slowly making improvements. He is going to turn the Moon trailer into an actual big boy race car trailer.
Wow. Why? Why?
Because I sold stupidity and enthusiasm.
Free trailer. Okay, sure.
Because I sold it really, really cheap.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's young and stubborn and hasn't learned all these lessons that we all learned with these right here. I think it's going to be a great trailer when he's done.
Oh,
I like the story of Bruce and Greg going up to New Hampshire, towing the 20-foot enclosed behind the RV. They get off the highway in New Hampshire and they're on the two-lane back road to get to the track. And they're going along. And sure enough, one of the trailer wheels passes the RV. So
that's never good.
No,
it's not.
And it was still glowing orange in the middle when it did, because it was night. They could see it. So they got that and got out of the road. They just pulled over to the side, made sure that the wheel wasn't going to catch anything on fire, and just ratchet strapped up that axle, because we're only a couple miles from the track. We'll make it. So they ratcheted it up and they kept driving, and sure enough then the police pulled them over and said that you can't do that, that's unsafe. We're like, well, we're only going right there. So the police did let them go.
You boys know you're missing a tire.
Yeah
Except it's New Hampshire, but okay, they sound like that up there.
If we really wanted to talk about people with trailer failures, we'd have Bill on. He could entertain us for hours with stories of janky trailer failures.
Yeah,
poor Bill.
Not a trailer failure, but the first go that I did at CMP on a track day, I used a tow dolly from U-Haul. So I, tightened up the wheels on the car, right? And I stopped for gas about three quarters of the way there. I'm on that sort of two-lane highway going into the track.
Yep.
And even though I checked the wheels, they were not tight. So I lost one. One of the Porsche wheels went off. right? So I could see it grinding behind me. I pull over. By the time I get stopped,
oh my God, what? Yes.
Time I get stopped, I can't find the wheel. So like this person stopped, can't find the wheel. Well, it turns out some young clown saw a wheel come off and was like, oh, I could take that wheel. I'm going to take that wheel and take off. His mom apparently saw what he was doing because I guess he took the tire off his truck or whatever. And I guess she confronted him. So a little while later, like I'm trying to figure out what the F I'm going to do. Jackie, I'm like, I need you to bring me a wheel. This lady shows up. She's like, my son grabbed your wheel by mistake. And I was like, okay. So then she tells me the story.
By mistake. So
I bolt my wheel back on and I make it to the track meeting and
holy
get going.
Crap.
Didn't hurt the disc or anything. I was like, this is so strange. South Carolina for you.
Right? Yeah. Wow, that's a good one. By
Caleb,
mistake.
You take that man's shiny Porsche wheel right back to him. Right
now. Or I'm doing it.
Travel. Tan your hide.
Thank goodness somebody saw him. He just like throw in the backyard like, ma, look what I've got.
Right, but
good Jimmy.
If he tried to make up a toe dolly story, it would never be that funny.
No. That's a good one. I like that one. Oh, my.
All right. Okay, so next, number five. You've got your car.
God.
But it's broken. You need to find some parts, or maybe you need a parts car, or maybe you bought the car in general. And because it's lemons, we're dealing with stuff that's crap. And sketchy people have crap for
and
sketchy
we're
prices.
In the middle of nowhere sometimes. So sometimes it's like this is the best you've got. Also.
Yeah.
So
no other choice.
What any time that you've met some savory characters buying something for lemons, had a good story out of it.
You've got one of these.
I figured we all did. I mean, well,
okay.
I'll start with that's a segue from the trailer one.
Go for it.
So when I was so I had moved to Charlotte, and Russ from the Burt One team brought the Firebird down to me with our craptastic trailer that Matt had for years. Still have the plate, by the way. It's on my new trailer. But he shows up with this trailer and a bunch of stuff, the grill, all kinds of stuff. So I decide I'm going to launch the trailer. I launched the grill. Some guy put it on Facebook Marketplace, huge grill. I'm like, $0. Guy shows up and says, how much you want for it? And I'm like, $50. He goes with it.
Okay.
Right. So this was kind of my day. So the trailer's sitting in front of my house, and guy calls, says, I want that trailer. He's like, don't sell it to anybody. I'll be there. Give you $500 for it.
I'm
like,
what perfect. Did it say it was for sale or you just?
No, it was for sale. I'm
marketing. Okay.
It's like $500. So I'm like, where's the damn title for this thing? I don't think it ever had a title. Well, I certainly didn't have it. So I'm trying to call the guy. I don't have the title for this. I don't want you to waste a trip. I look out the window and I realize this guy's in my driveway hooked to the trailer. I'm like, this guy's motivated. I'm like, hey, I don't have the title for this. He's like, here's your $500. Totally ignores what I said to him. And I'm like, this doesn't have a title.
Okay.
Like, we're good. Gets in his car, drives away. I have $500 in my hand. I walk in the house and Jackie's like, what happened with the trailer? And I'm like, I have $500. And I threw it in the air. I can't believe this just happened. You are a $500 man. Couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, this guy's motivated. He had this beat up old truck and he just took that trailer and away it went. I barely had time to take the plate off it.
Didn't care about paperwork.
Registration laws.
I don't know what he's gonna do with that trailer, but
not something he's concerned about.
North
not
Carolina.
Everywhere.
Yeah. They're just happy if the trailer's got wheels on it.
Right? It's not a moon trailer that is actually unsafe.
Okay. I was going to ask before, why is the moon trailer? Because it's so high?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
If you didn't hear the story, if you remember the half magic janky trailer that Jeff had.
That's the one that Corey tried to help you load the Omega on, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
The moon trailer is the one.
The moon trailer is where the Omega lived. Yeah. But I at 11:30 on a Thursday night, a guy catches me at an intersection and says, hey, do you want to trade trailers? Why not? Welcome to Las Vegas.
Of course I do. Right. I'm gonna trade up, literally.
It's not low anymore. It's up.
It is.
Does that?
Yes.
I don't understand. And then you said yes.
I needed a trailer. It filled a need.
So you guys were saying this wasn't funny. This is funny.
Back to the meeting a sketchy person in a place for parts or for a car. The most famous of these was actually that Fairlane team, Fairly Lame, down in Birmingham at Barber. They literally show up to buy a replacement engine, and it's a Klan rally. They can see the burning cross. The guy comes out with the engine and says, if I see a cell phone, I'm going to shoot you. Nope. We are good. We are going to not make eye contact. We are going to hand you this money and take the engine. Big surprise, the engine was crap. But it's not like you're going to go back and get a refund. The only slightly less famous story was during the infamous Rambler, as it was making its way from Corey, going to meet a guy to buy the Pinto engine. And the guy refuses to say zero or acknowledge the existence of zero, because it's an evil number and a sign of the devil.
What?
And then he's lecturing Corey, because Corey's a big fella, and he's like, you know, there's a health crisis going on right now. You're gonna have hypertension. And Corey's like, you're fixing to have some lacerations and bruising if you don't shut up.
But wow.
So, we had the Hooniverse guy, Jeff Glucker, they had to like go into Bakersfield and buy an engine out of the back of a corner store that there's handmade cardboard side says we cash welfare checks. And this, they were like, this is literally how we're going to get stabbed. There are some fantastic stories. If you have one, please send us. But meeting sketchy people and buying sketchy stuff in the middle of nowhere, or even in the middle of somewhere.
We bought the truck that became the boat in kind of a sketchy way.
Yes.
We'd been looking for a long time for a second generation two-wheel drive V6 manual transmission, regular cab short bed S10, and they're not thick on the ground. And we'd found one that was in Western Pennsylvania. Seemed amenable to work in a reasonable deal. So we go out there in our Land Rover towing an open trailer.
It's all we had at the time. Right.
And our first issue was getting to the address. We couldn't get
gas because there's nothing but regular there.
I was getting there, yeah.
Oh, well, we're that's
so what... far into southwestern Pennsylvania, we could see West Virginia. It's that part of Pennsylvania. The GPS took us down basically an off-road dirt road that eventually ended, and I had to back the trailer out of this off-road dirt road. We finally find where these people are. Get there. The guy who's selling the car isn't there. A truck isn't there yet, but they're going to get him. But the whole family comes out of this cinder block shack, and there's probably a half dozen of them. Everyone's using some kind of tobacco, if not two kinds at once, from age something teen up through elderly. They call the guy who's selling the truck. He turns out to be a midget.
This is not a lie. This is
I'm little people.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
He drove an MG.
Legit have a picture of it on my phone.
Yep. So eventually we make a deal, and the dad is kind of like, being bad. I'm gonna make this deal for you. And eventually we make a deal, and he said, all right, load up. And so all the kids start gathering parts out of the woods and all kinds of stuff. And we have
20 springs. I'm like, all these not doors. Even sure.
I got doors. I got springs.
A hood.
I got
we got a bumper. Yes, right.
Just go to this truck. To the junkyard now.
Pretty much. Right. We just did that.
And so they just keep loading all in, and we're okay, good. And so then we're gonna get gas. So where's the gear station? Well, it's over there. Yes, Chrissy.
There was pillows for the little person because it was the seat didn't move, so he had a whole little bevel of pillows so he could get to the to the seats. Yep. I think we gave them back, or we probably
threw
them
so. Yeah.
The other. Yes.
Oh, we need to get gas.
I've never heard this story.
Yeah, it's real. I just, you have to watch, go on to
the only gas station in town was the only thing in this town was this gas station convenience store. And I think it still was a video rental. And this is when video rentals should no longer have been a thing. And you know, the gentleman we were buying the truck from, his lady friend, was young
and Ma, I think they both worked there,
right? So that's where Antwerp has to go over there. They only sell regular gas, and the Land Rover, of course, it's Land Rover takes premium. So whatever, put some in. We got to get out of here. Like, we just got to get out of here.
Okay, so while we're driving the truck, and we were like, we just want to make sure it pulls and everything is like not just, you know, even then we were just gonna take the truck anyway.
Test drive, right?
But we took it on the test drive, and Chris was like, normally you'd get in with the driver or whatever, and Chris was like, get in. And so we both went in the car. He's like, don't stay standing there with these people. We're just going to take this truck. And fortunately, they were okay with it. But we were like, don't stand there because we don't know what's going to happen.
When we have the Lifetime made-for-TV movie about the three-pedal mafia, when Chris comes back from driving the truck, they're all going to be like, so what do you say? We just trade the truck for your girl over there.
Might have happened.
Did she cook?
Oh, that was a good one.
Banjos, but it was nearby.
Oh, they were there. I think they were just still inside, so it was fine. I was thinking of, you had a couple epic Babe Rally stops along the way. I feel like,
yeah. Well, there's the one we ruined the brakes on it somehow, and really didn't have any brakes. Took them apart, scraped them off with like a razor blade in the wheel cylinders to like get them to work ish. And someone had told us on the other side of Tale of the Dragon was a lady named Juanita who sold Volkswagen parts out of her basement. We had a rough address, and this is a weekend in Tennessee, and we're like, okay. So we drove through the Tale of the Dragon with no brakes, basically, down the mountain outside. Eventually stumble across Juanita the Volkswagen's lady's house, sure enough. She was about the size of a Volkswagen, and her basement was full of weird NOS, like obscure aftermarket stuff that Jim Thwaite, who was a Volkswagen guy, was looking around going, oh my God, I haven't heard of any of these things existing in years. Like weird things, like putting a Holley four barrel kit for an air-cooled Volkswagen, like stuff that doesn't make any sense. She had these things sitting around. So she wanders through like the weird mazes of dirty shelves in there and picks all the parts that we need. And it's going to be like, you know, $87. Okay. Well, all we didn't have enough cash between us, but she took my just out of state check. I just keep a check folded up in my wallet just in case. She's like, yeah, sure. No problem. Whatever. Got us the parts, got us on the road, got us a good story.
For the younger viewers, a check was a sheet of paper that was a coded bank account, and you could write it out for money. It's how you used to actually buy delivery pizza before you had an app.
Since we're talking old stuff, I was going to say that four barrel kit probably came out of a J.C. Whitney catalog.
Probably. Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
In the back, where all the Volkswagen stuff was, you're like, oh yeah.
Y'all are dating yourself.
You could build an entire Volkswagen or a CJ5 Jeep out of a J.C. Whitney catalog and not have to have any parts at all. Everything you need to make one was in a J.C. Whitney catalog.
Yep.
Yeah, nice and cheap too.
All right. So when you can't get those parts from somebody and you've got to make something work, that's our next one. Ridiculous solutions that actually kind of sort of worked. You know, worked enough, surprise you. And I'll start off with one from, this is one that Bruce did, like, the first time Bruce decided to bring his own race car, he brought this TR7. He'd gotten it from somebody.
Oh, so hopeless.
Someone had already swapped in a 3.8 liter Buick Oddfire 231 V6. It's like only came in like the 76 and 77 Monza and Skyhawk and something. It had a dogleg BorgWarner 5-speed. It was a really weird combination. Anyway, they're running, it's going okay, but the clutch fails. And he doesn't have a new clutch. Can't get a new clutch because it's a super obscure thing. But what Bruce has is his magic trailer. And it's magic because it's full of all kinds of parts. And what Bruce usually did before then was a three-quarter midget racing. So he's got all kinds of half-fused three-quarter midget parts in there. So what does he do? He takes the clutch disc. He takes all his used rear brake pads from the three-quarter midget. And he's got a bunch of them. And he welds them to the clutch disc. He puts it back in.
And it works.
Car takes the checkered flag running. That
wasn't the one that we were in seventh, right?
No, that one they ran the whole time.
But, yeah, right.
But this is, but he got a heroic fix for that, as he should. yeah, who knew?
I do that remember would work. That one. Oh gosh, yes.
It was like a four puck clutch at that point.
Well, so the other one, what we were referencing before, because this is number six, the boat fix with for that clutch was a.
Yeah,
the
once this weird GM part had broken, that was basically we had a clutch rod out of the master cylinder, and it needed to go over the clutch pedal, which had basically a tab sticking out of the side of the pedal. So we cut the closed end off a like 11 millimeter wrench and then welded a deep socket to it and zip tied it in place, and okay, the closed end held on the tab on the pedal, the other end was over the rod that worked, and wouldn't you know it, we got through most of the day on Sunday after we'd figured that out. Worked great.
2 weeks ago, I didn't know this, the generations of LSs, the newer ones have a notch in the valley to fit the much better, I wish Matt was here, but he could tell it, but it's an upgraded park as the LS has gone through its various things. And when we were swapping the engine and the Failbird, the guy there had one of the tile cutting saws and just using kind of a cardboard aided design. They kind of marked on the block where they needed it cut out. We taped over all of the holes for the aluminum, and he cut this notch perfectly out of the valley with a tile cutting saw, and the whole thing bolted up and ran all day.
What's
Sunday.
He doing with a tile? Is this at the track?
Yeah.
Why did you bring a tile saw to the track?
I don't think he means what you're thinking, Chris. You're thinking like a big wet table saw for
it. No. It was like that okay. Oscillating little handheld.
Oh, yeah. We call that the buzzy tool. Yeah.
Buzzy
tool.
Buzzy tool.
Ah, yes. Understood. Okay. A tile. I was like, wow, you're going to redo some floors while you're racing. Great.
It's great for cutting trim.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Dean, you had one. You're saying Matt welded up something with a T56 and the clutch and something along those lines.
Yeah, so when you put the T56 on a 350, so they made kits for it for the LT1, but it's essentially a different way the clutch actuates. And so we had to use the factory arrangement. So that meant the clutch wasn't right for the car. So the splines were wrong for the clutch that we had. So we're like, okay, well, we'll rip off the clutch of the one we had and weld it onto the new clutch that we're going to use for the T56. And we're all like, well, that's not going to work because there's no way you're going to get it centered. And Matt's favorite saying is, well, it'll find a home. And of course it did. But we put the whole thing together, and there's a way that the clutch actuator has a pivot. And we couldn't get it to work. And then we actually made it, because it was too long. Then we made it too short. We put the whole thing together. And the only way to fix it would be to bring the whole thing back apart. So we wound up having to do it gynecologically through this stupid little hole with long wrenches and pry the thing. We finally got it to work.
Oh, no.
And then we were like, Loctite read it, and it worked from then on.
Send it.
Nobody could believe that thing worked.
Everyone's like,
nobody even sells a kit to do that. Where are you going to get the part? And we're like, well, we're going to make it. We're just doing it. And that was the night where it was raining dildos, because you guys were all in the hot tub throwing the double ender at us while we were.
I mean, which day was that? Because
that doesn't narrow more it down.
Specific. Nope. That happens most times.
Yeah, that's like... most time. Anyway, but that was transmission time when we were at New Hampshire. Fun stuff.
That is an excellent segue to number seven, which is highly related to that, but it's just a comedy of errors, a police squad airplane-esque Rube Goldberg series of this caused this, caused this, caused this, caused this, caused this, which that means now you have to pull on this wire and lick your finger before trying to start the vehicle now, because that's just how it works. A comedy of errors. Just hilarious so weekends.
When I concepted this, I was thinking of the Porsche when we were at CMP, where it was just like one thing after another with the replacement engine we had.
That is, walk through that story, because there is no greater expression of a comedy of errors than that weekend.
Well, that so the first one was actually just like, again, one thing after another. We went to go get the car off the trailer, and the fuel rail started leaking like from the jump. So we couldn't even get the car teched for test day. So we had to pull the thing off. We're trying to braze the stupid thing, because it's this boxy little thing with a stuff welded to it. And it had fatigue cracked at one of the joints. So we're like, all right, couldn't get that to work. Finally got it to work. And then we're like, this isn't going to last. So we sent Ray Baker, who was racing with us at that weekend, off to get another fuel rail. So he goes to this Porsche shop, again, random Porsche shop, gets a new one. We put it, slap it on the car. And we're running, right? And then, of course, the car dies on Saturday. So then we send Ray back to the same guy, see if he has an engine. We can't get the thing to in the car, right? Because this is the first go with the car. So we have no idea how to get the engine out of the car. So we're looking online. There's no cell service in CMP. It's like,
nope.
Dumb. Oh, you can't even Google it.
We realize we got to drop the front cross member. And Eric Groot came by it that night, and he had the famous picture of the hover Porsche, because the wheels were turned, and all you can see are the back of the brake, the back of the for the brake discs, the cooling shroud. So it just looked like there's two moons hanging off the bottom of it. And I was like, this, what? So he's snapping pictures while we're cleaning out the oil pan. We're all covered in grease. It was dumb. Put the engine back in the car, finally get it to where it's going to go. And we couldn't figure out why it wouldn't run. We had the distributor cap upside down. Because just being dumb. Like, we wired it all up because we had the wires all labeled. We hooked them up to the right thing. And then we just put it in upside down. So we're like, there's no way it's misfiring. The wires are all to the right place.
And it's the battery.
Like, I don't think that cap is on right. And I'm like, I grab it and it's like loose. And I'm like, oh, shit. Oh. We finally get it running and it's banging because I think we dropped something in the head.
Oh, no.
That was the end of our weekend. We're like,
oh, that sounds
so we packed it up and we're like, yeah, that's
you spent a lot of money, time, and effort for her.
Yeah, little... I got a block out of it that I still have, that I still run the hot motor in. So I mean, it wasn't completely
sure
bad, but
is your glass half full? It's great.
Glass half full.
That's at least it. You didn't leave a 10 millimeter wrench in right? The oil pan.
Right. No, but we did use one to an extended one to splice a hose together. That makes a great splice for a little hose. Fit right in the middle. Clamp it on. Bob's your uncle.
I'd use a 9 because you don't use the 9s very often.
Right.
Yeah. Just do it up.
You might not have one though.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Mental. I know this is one that I think is near and dear to your heart. Number 8.
Well, I was gonna. Yeah,
did you have a comedy of errors?
Well, I was gonna transition from 7 to 8.
Okay, this you start with 7, then work your way into 8.
The infamous race truck, the Datsun race truck, and Chrissy can't make it, so Chris drives down in the BMW to CMP, and he is there Thursday night. I get sick. I am in Georgia. I cannot leave. And. So Chris is there sleeping in his BMW instead of my RV.
I think Kurt and Kregers were nice and put me up.
Okay.
They're nice people.
And so, And I finally get underway Friday. It is a 6-hour drive from Atlanta to CMP. I have forgotten two parts. I remember having to try and do a U-turn in my new to me 29-foot RV with a trailer and blocking four lanes of traffic until I got that all sorted out. We finally get it down there, and it's a couple of just dumb things that I could have done that I didn't, that Chris had to fix. And we do kind of sort of get the car out there on the track, which leads us to number 8, which is a decision to just send it using bad data or even good data. Screw it. Checkers or wreckers, send the car. It's gonna go. Now, Chris had asked me if I was going to baffle the pan on the Datsun.
Because
if you've been
the
listening
race
to
before,
this,
we had had terrible oil starvation problems at Barber. But we'd go through turn two, the big long sweeping right at Barber, and we would just sit there and watch the oil pressure gauge.
Oh,
didn't stop it from keep running, did it?
I feel
we just went slower and just waited and stayed out the gas. And then once the oil pressure gauge came back up, then you could step on the gas again. Yeah. So I said,
I feel like the truck
got to baffle that pan.
The Datsun truck was the comedy of errors. Can I just say that? Just the whole thing, just start to finish. It just really start to finish.
Barber race. Metzl shows up. Yeah, truck's done. No problem. Ready to go. Shows up.
It was your birthday. It was, and we wait around for Mental. Yes.
Yep. We wait around forever. Truck's done. Shows up. Mental, where's this part of the cage? This is required. Oh, I thought you meant that bar.
No.
All right.
Pretty much.
How about all these other things?
Dragging on the ground. Oh, it caught on the trailer on the way there. Okay.
And it was cold.
It's my birthday. It's cold. I'm lying under the truck trying to weld together an exhaust and like make a pipe when you only have an angle grinder.
Walking over to wish you happy birthday. They're like, are we singing yet?
Chrissy,
and we're like, go away.
Had under a birthday party planned for him.
I was
and everyone is waiting to sing happy birthday.
Everybody's
not now. Yes. Which also segues to the next point. If you've been listening to this show, well, at all, you'll know that my plan is I just do a thing. Chris is going to research it. He's going to evaluate various methods of accomplishment. He's going to make a few test versions, and then he's going to go with the one, which is why when you show up and race a 3-pedal mafia car, it goes.
What's wrong with that? Also why
I don't build race cars anymore. Because
correct.
So Chris asked me if I baffled the pan. Sure, I baffled the pan. I baffled it so good you couldn't even get a dipstick in it to see if there was enough oil in it.
And so much baffle.
And I just kind of made up the baffle as I went along rather than anything smart like this. So we've got Steve, the dishwashing fairy, in the truck, and he's saying it's still dropping oil pressure every time it comes into a corner. And here's an E1R top tip. Just because you think you fixed it doesn't mean you fixed it, but I am adamant. I am absolutely adamant that no, the gauge is wrong. Because
it's always the gauge. The gauge
has to be wrong because I fixed it.
Oh my God.
Send it. So Chris actually gets on the radio and says, fuck that oil pressure gauge's couch. Just go. The engine goes completely nuclear. I have a picture of me holding a lovely bird.
We got like 30 out of it,
ride.
I think, more than we expected.
Well, how many laps from the point where you said send it?
Yeah, like 20 or 30. Like he was going for longer than I expected, frankly.
That's appreciably.
Yeah.
So I will tell you, the last time the fail bird had a small block in it at Buttonwillow, Matt handed me the car. And he said, the oil pressure's doing weird stuff. Just go. It's fine.
Yeah.
One lap. Because I went out and I said, shit, I forgot my earplugs. This is loud as hell. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make my whole stint. Oh, well, nothing to worry about now.
It's quiet now.
Going down the straightaway. Bang.
It's quiet now.
I didn't even see anything happen. I mean, you could tell me the temp went up a little bit. I mean, it looked a little hot when I was getting onto the straight. And by the time I looked down, gone. Bang. And I'll tell you, I mean, that's not unique. I mean, that's got to be two or three times that that's happened where we that's why I was saying bad data. We looked at the gauge and we're like, nah, that can't be right.
My understanding is the gauge totally and the fail bird, the briefing that I got in the fail bird is it's a zero or one. It has oil. It doesn't have oil. So if it starts to move, shut it down because you've got no oil. But as long as that needle's there somewhere, there's oil. And
like your pen,
who was driving the car at Thunderhill?
Oh, well, so it will get there. So I get in it and I am.
See, this
I am
is all new to me. I wasn't there.
Oh, no. I'm acutely aware of the level of effort that Tim and Matt have in his car, not to mention just this the
only
fail
recently
bird,
let alone the effort everyone's put into that car over the years. Holy crap.
The fail bird is a Shakespearean tragedy of a race car.
Yeah.
And so the last small block, the one that blew up, and that was not a cheap small block. That was we'll just be blatant and say it was a cheaty as shit small block that he had put a lot of effort into. So I'm acutely aware that if anything in this car varies from what is acceptable, I am shutting it down. Absolutely not. I am not going to be the person who killed the fail bird. And it is so fast. So fast with that LS. And I have Matt goes out, has a great stint. I go out, have a great stint, hand the car off to Tim. Tim goes out, puts us in third. Matt gets out there. Matt has us in second, and he is running down the first place teams when knock, knock. And he said the gauge went eh, and then that was his only indication. And then
that's where lemons get you, man, because you're up there, and even if it starts dropping, you're like, man, I can make it till the end. We can't stop because we're in next place.
There's number nine right there. You're winning, and then all of a sudden you're not.
Yeah. You are hurting the vehicle because there's only this much more to go. Chris, you're absolutely right. Uh-huh. That is number nine. That is
what got us through the 24, though. I'll tell you, I put that hand pump in there. We're driving along in the porch.
This is a number six.
Oh,
this is a number
go
six.
Back. Go yeah. back. We got to talk about that
this
one.
This is good.
The car had been burning oil, right?
This is the Porsche.
So, it's on the 24. So you got no, and you were able to stop in the 24, which you don't normally get to stop. But
yeah,
yes.
But you know, the car had been burning oil. It had an old set of heads on it. I was like, I don't think it's going to make it. And I'm like, I was thinking about putting a little electric pump with a switch, and then I saw this thing online. It was just a hand pump, and I'm like, that's it, that's gonna do it. So I tested it out, you know, like Chris, right, did my homework, how much is each stroke, right, so you don't overfill with oil. And I told so we had guest drivers, right, we had
like a bunch,
yeah, we had Laura, Vernon, and I forget the guy's name we had. He drove with the Miata team for years anyway. So we gave everybody a brief. You're going through the right-hand turn before the last turn in the straight. It's always going to start to do this. If it starts to do that, give it a pump and then wait the next lap.
So now, and go through this because we all saw this, but explain it to our listeners. You literally installed a reservoir of oil with a gallon jug running through the firewall into the race engine.
Which I now know is illegal, but we didn't know it was illegal at the time. And everybody saw it. And they were, I mean, it looked a little inconspicuous. It's all black and it's just a knob. But again, you know, it went into the top of the motor and the oil fill. So we just cut a hole in that. So nothing was venting. And you can't get any venting or carbon monoxide in the car because it's full of oil and it's got valves in it, right? So it was quote unquote safe. I don't think I would run that again. I think I would fix the motor.
How would you just fix the problem?
Yeah, I think next time.
I'm just gonna spend all this time on getting a hand pump and then making it all pretty and then making it match. And then you're just.
I mean, the whole thing was hilarious, right? I mean, I remember Jeff Wakeman being, there's absolutely no fail in this plan.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
yes. He was wrong because it made it. It didn't fail.
But what it does, though, is it removes a decision that you will make almost every time. The oil is dropping a little bit, and I'm going to drive it. I'm going to try and go easy on it. With a Porsche like that, the, you know, number two rod bearing would like a word if you try to pull that. Be like, I'm the one who knocks, right? Just like the shirt. But it worked. In fact, it's interesting because one of the drivers overfilled it. So it started running hot, and I'm like, stop bumping oil into it. He's like, well, it kept, you know, go dying. I'm like, you're in the same turn. I said, once per lap, okay, just give it a pump. It's not going to blow up. Just, you know, take it easy because you can overfill it. You have no idea how much oil is in it at that point. Yeah. All you're doing is adding, right? It's like dead reckoning. Once you're there, you're there. That's funny.
Oh.
We forgot about that one.
Oh, yeah.
It's hanging on the wall in my shop, so it's a little memento.
Now, this isn't necessarily a rite of passage of endurance racers, but if you've been listening to this and you can check off about half of these, or you've come up with four that we haven't thought of, but you've done them three times, you should seriously consider working a Lemons race, like actually volunteer, or if you're a Champ Car person, go volunteer because they're always needing stuff like that, as a judge, as a steward, as a safety person, gate person, the one that takes the license and hands people their wristbands, because I promise you it will add to your perspective. It will increase your understanding of this absolutely ridiculous hobby. And you will most certainly help someone else out by being in one of those positions because you understand.
Mm. All right. Yeah.
Dean, thank you very much for joining us. Where can we find you on the socials? If you want,
basically. So we have our sorry for Party Racing Facebook page. So you can find us there. We don't do Instagram or anything else, but that's,
actually, you guys are on the Instagram. I've tagged you.
Are we? I have no idea.
So we're not there.
My wife's slash race manager, controller, and, you know, all around awesome person handles all the socials for us. So
she's very good at it too.
Yeah,
and she is. And she is also awesome. Legitimately, truly.
Absolutely.
Fantastically awesome. All right. So we will have a link to the Sorry for Party Facebook and Instagrams on our Facebook page. Other than pumping oil into a hot engine, do we have a just the tip, hella sweet? But, you know,
so you must have written some safety topic this week.
I always have a safety topic, but or is it better that somebody else has? Dean, do you have a safety topic for us?
Ooh.
don't drink too much while you're working. Because you'll have to redo it. I can remember one time I had a pony keg that I wanted to kill, and I had wiring to do on the Corvair I had, 65, just like the guy in Haggerty's. So I rigged a hose under the car so I could take a drink while I was working on the creeper.
No!
I can tell you that car, after a couple of hours, felt like it was 50 feet long. And I couldn't get out from under it. And I passed out until my roommate came out at 11 o'clock and said, are you okay? Because just my legs were sticking out of the car. He had to drag me out from under the car. Don't do that.
You don't know which drink is the one that says it's too much, but you will know after you've passed it and there's no going back.
Yeah. There's no going back.
You're like, wow, I'm thirsty. Wow, I'm still thirsty.
That's another reason why I do not own a creeper. I'd rather just submarine myself under the car.
Get me out. That was a good one. I like that. Yeah, you're like, and you probably worked really. You made an effort to make this hose, so you make a plan.
20 minutes to find the right fitting and zip tie everything together. I was very proud of myself.
I bet you could also spot where the wiring, you know, right there. That was exactly too much beer because now the wiring is all one color and it's all Radio Shack leftover stereo.
And I started tying
wire.
It together and it's fine.
It all had to come out, every last bit of it. Like, what were you even doing?
Oh, that's a good one.
I thought I could use this extension cord here.
All right, like a lifeline, a little rope. there was none of that. Thank you. It was just like, no, I think I'm done here. I'm gonna lay here for a little bit, try and
That's good.
I like that one.
Nice rest.
That's good.
That's a good one.
That is a great one.
That's better than my safety topic.
Absolutely.
All right.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Mental, Chrissy, team.
Nope.
We good? That's it.
We're good.
I'm good. This was awesome. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Do we have any idea what we're doing next week?
Not a clue.
Not a clue. But Sunday, Dean, you're in our F1 league, aren't you? Fantasy league.
I am not. Jackie is, so I'm in there by vicariously.
Now she's doing better than you would anyway. Join.
She's doing F1. Really well, actually.
She is. Join our F1 fantasy league, and yet again this Sunday, for the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, I'm probably going to be at the Circa. So join in. We'll do a watch party. It'll be fun. We'll talk trash. We'll make fun of Max and Christian Horner and his questionable texting choices.
That's fantasygp.com, code 742-59541. Yep. Waste time with us. Anyway, thanks for downloading us. Hope you enjoyed this week's edition of Everyone Racers. Also hope you'll join us in the world of driving, racing, failing, building, but passing out under your Corvair, because everyone can be a racer, even you. If you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe. It's totally free. Go to iTunes and give us that 5-star rating. Even if you don't like our stories, which I can't even imagine, because this was great. Tell us why. What's going on? Why you hate life? If you have any other questions, show ideas, stories that you want to share, because we've all got these, drop us a comment. Facebook, Everyone Racers, everyone.racers@gmail.com. Text mental pictures of your junk late at night, 484-243-0455. He might no longer be the head of Red Bull Racing either. So, thanks again, everyone. And until next week, keep the shiny side up. Unless you just make something work or pump some oil into it, then, keep going. Thanks.
All right.